Well, we're going to interrupt what we were listening to. Shaylin, what were we listening to?
Snap Judgment.
Snap Judgment. That's a PRI program, I think.
Correct, sir.
Well, now it is time, however, for the Kenai Conversation. And we have in the studio outgoing Mayor Mike Navarre and his Chief of Staff, Larry Persily, Shaylin Cochran, and myself, Jay Barrett. We're going to be talking about the election results and anything else that comes to mind, I suppose. We also have the phone lines open. Shaylin, what's that phone number?
690-1687. Drop us a line on Facebook, too, if that's your preferred means of communication. 690-1687, though.
All right. Well, let's dive right in. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. Thanks for the invitation to be on and talk about the results of our most recent election.
Yeah. Good morning, Larry.
Thank you, and thank you for the invitation so I can listen to the mayor comment on the election.
We were discussing while we were waiting here that sure would be nice to see your guys' emails from last night going back and forth. You know, do you feel like reading those, reciting those to us?
I got probably more texts than I got emails.
Yeah.
And I didn't put anything in writing.
That's a wise man who's been in public service for quite a while. Well, any surprises from the election results that you've seen?
You know, I was a little surprised at the bond and debt issue for the borough building maintenance on the heating and ventilation systems went down as badly as it did. That's something that is preserving an asset that belongs to the residents. It's something that has to be done. It's got to be done at some point. So I guess the next administration or the one after that is going to have to figure out how to skin that cat. And, you know, I was also a little bit surprised that the tax cap ballot issue failed as badly as it did also, because there wasn't a lot of negativity around that issue. You know, there was no organized effort against it. I just think that, you know, people don't like to pay taxes. They like the services, and there's some perceptions, I think, from the national level down about the fact that people feel like they're overtaxed, even if they're not. They feel like government's growing out of control, and that's not the case. If you look at the information that we have from our own local government at the borough, you know, most of our money goes to education, and the budget in the last 10 years has grown at about just over 2% a year. It's not growing out of control, and we're not overtaxed, but that's something that is difficult, I guess, to get across and oftentimes doesn't resonate.
Larry, any surprises?
No, I guess I'm more discouraged than the mayor, and not just with the vote, but nationally. It's become so easy for candidates, for politicians, for the public, for people on social media to blame everything on government. And you see that with defeats of the sales tax change or the heating ventilation system to replace the half-century-old boilers in the borough building. It's increasingly and discouraging to me. People are looking at government as a problem rather than a government as how you provide services in a community and improve the community. And that anger, that animosity, that delusional belief that somehow you can provide all these services without paying taxes, I think is a serious problem this country faces.
You know what? I lived here before. I lived here for about 10 years
in
before.
In a prior life?
Yes. Actually, Lori Evans introduced us at the Clarion one time. I worked there for her. I spent the last 12 years down in Kodiak, which has a very different attitude towards what you're talking about. They believe in, you know, they don't have a problem with keeping the government keeping things up. They have a 7% sales tax in the city, for example. I mean, there would be riots in the streets here on the peninsula if something like that came up, I would imagine.
Yeah. Countries or cities certainly are different. Juneau, was reading this morning, Juneau has not voted against a ballot proposition, bond issue, tax matter since 2011. And it's not to say Juneau's good and Kenai's bad, or Kodiak's good and Wasilla's bad. It's just different demographics in the town and different economics.
What does it take to try to change that culture where tax is sort of like this four-letter word? And it, does it take, you know, crumbling roads? Does it take a massive fire at the borough building because there's, you know, 50 plug-in space heaters in the winter? What does it take?
You know, I really think what it takes is a little bit more public education, and it really requires that responsible citizens step up and help people who are in public office, because you can't do it on your own. Larry and I went around the borough talking about the HVAC issue and about why we needed to increase the cap on sales in order to provide revenues to support the cost of our services here. Again, mostly education. That's the biggest expenditure that we make. And I think we were pretty well received everywhere we went. Not a lot of negativity or opposition, but we also didn't get a lot of folks who stepped up to help and to voice their support for it. There was no organized effort in favor of those issues. And, you know, I think that responsible citizens have to step up and recognize what's important and then to help secure the support for things.
It's gotten to the point where silence is hurting the communities. Half the people don't vote. And you look at the change in sales tax by borough code, 100% of sales tax has to go to education. So it would have been nice if some education group had formed to campaign in favor of the change in sales tax, since that's where all the money would have went. But, you know, I realize people are busy. You've got a lot of people doing two jobs. There's other things going on in life. Finding time to volunteer for a citizen's campaign on something is probably down near the bottom of most of our list. But I think if things are going to change, people just have to carve out more time, as the mayor said, to get educated and get more involved.
Is this, I'm curious, is this something that the assembly could maybe take a bigger role on? It seems like a lot of these questions go to the ballot when maybe it's decisions that the assembly is deferring on rather than taking a stance.
Well,
that's a tough one, though.
You know, well, what's difficult about it is because, you know, we talked about that internally, because the voters originally put the cap in place, then our attorney says that the voters have to vote in order to increase it. Otherwise, it could have been up to the assembly. But, you know, it's difficult, too, for assembly members. This time, we had five assembly races on the ballot this year, that 5 out of 9.
Yeah.
That's a result of some people dropping out or moving out of their district or resigning from the assembly. And so, you know, when you have that many people and are up for election, they're a little squeamish oftentimes about taking positions one way or another, in case they get crosswise with the public. So I think that, you know, like I said, we tried to go out and educate the public, and we're pretty well received. And that's probably as much as any reason why I was so sort of surprised by how badly they went down.
Well, if that's not the solution, do you think there is one?
You know, I think that you have to continue working to build credibility with the public and educating them about why things are needed. And just it's much easier to be a naysayer and to be opposed to something than it is to advocate and educate. And I think that that's what it takes. It's going to be difficult for the next administration. There is a significant hole in the budget and not a lot of places that things can be cut, because we haven't grown. The borough hasn't grown. The only area that we're really seeing an increase in is education. And even there, it hasn't been huge increases. So it's going to be tough.
Speaking of the next administration, it looks like there'll be a runoff between Charlie Pierce and Linda. Look with my glasses here. Linda Farnsworth Hutchings. What do you think? I mean, you came out in favor or in support of Linda.
Yeah, Linda's always supported me. You know, they've been longtime friends of my folks, actually, and me, and have always supported me. And Linda's mom, Dolly Farnsworth, was a super lady and one of my mentors early in my early years in politics. And so it's something that I'm supporting Linda, and I'll continue to support Linda. And runoffs are totally different elections. They're, you know, there won't there won't be as high a turnout. And it's how the votes spread and who gets our voters out to vote. That's what's going to cause the election to, the results of the election. It's going to be whoever gets their voters out to vote.
Like the mayor said, a lower turnout. There'll be no marijuana on the ballot, which I think is what brought many voters out this time. So Linda did better in Homer and some districts, whereas Charlie did better in his own. So as the mayor explained, it's going to be the turnout and where those votes come from. You know, certainly you want to turn out from the precincts that are going to be in support of you and hope that there's a low turnout where they don't like you.
I'm sure both campaigns are taking a look at the numbers and trying to figure out what their strategy is going to be for the next 3 weeks, because the next week the assembly will meet. They'll certify the results of this election, and they'll set a runoff election for the 24th. And so it happens pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Dale Bagley's 250, about 400 votes behind Linda. You know, I don't know exactly how many outstanding ballots there are. Have you guys heard anything this morning?
I haven't gotten the numbers, but I did talk with the clerk yesterday. By the way, the clerk runs the elections, not the mayor. She does a great job. Also, they had a lot of support and help and did a great job on the elections. But she said there were huge numbers of absentees.
Yeah.
She used the word actually unprecedented. So there's a lot of votes out there, and sure, anything could happen. It's unlikely that a vote differential of that large gets made up in absentees, but it's not impossible. So I think we're going to have to wait till the weekend to be sure, but I think it's most likely that the two who are looking like they're in there, Charlie and Linda, are the ones who'll be running off. But it could happen that Dale could make it up after absentees.
Mm-hmm. What do you know? What's your opinion of? Well, I guess we know your opinion of Linda. What's your opinion of Charlie?
You know, my opinion of Charlie is that I've got along fairly well with Charlie when he was on the assembly. He was on the assembly for several years while I was mayor. Got along mostly pretty good with him. He and I didn't see eye to eye on some things, and he can be pretty harsh in his criticism when he doesn't get his way. You know, I think that Charlie has a little bit of a bully mentality, but beyond that, my opinion of him is he's been around the Kenai Borough for a long period of time. I'd say talk to the people who worked for him and find out. They probably know more about him than I do.
You know, I'm curious, Larry. You brought up the marijuana issue and that ballot proposition, and what we're thinking is probably a lot of these absentee and other ballots that are seeing that spike probably due to that issue or very likely due to that issue. I'm curious if one of the borough mayor candidates hadn't gone out and really gotten in front of that and embraced that issue, if they couldn't have gotten to that 50+1 and avoided this. If there's enough votes there, if you can get single issue voters to go down a ticket like that, was it a missed opportunity, or is this just how it was going to shake out sort of anyway?
You know, I think that all of the candidates recognized that there was risk associated with taking a position on that. But
sure.
I think they also recognized that it was likely to the vote no folks were better organized, and so I think that they felt like that it was going to go down, and so most of them took a position either neutral or in favor. So
yeah,
but not wildly loudly in favor, right?
Yeah,
sort of quietly in favor.
Along those lines, we got a question texted to us. Someone wants to know why city residents couldn't vote on Proposition 1.
Well, it's because when the original voter initiative passed in 2014, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
passed in 2014 in a statewide election, that included, the way that law was drafted, it gives the cities within a borough their own individual jurisdiction. So residents outside the cities don't get to tell the people and the governments inside the city what to do. And in this case, since they have their own jurisdiction, it's just an area. The only thing that the Kenai Borough has authority over is the area outside the city. And that's by law. And it's not something that we made up. That's what the state law says. And that's why residents in the city can take it up with their local councils and their local administrations. But just the areas outside the city get to vote on this one.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, it's something that emerged in this issue in that debate over that particular proposition. One of the things that I saw come out a little bit and a little bit later as the election drew nearer was the idea of some zoning issues that folks had. It wasn't necessarily the use or the proliferation of the industry, but zoning issues, the sort of not in my backyard kind of thing. And I'm curious, do you think that this is just another industry, another thing that's going to make people think a little bit more about zoning issues in the borough and maybe be a little more proactive, at least to the degree that they can be?
Does the FCC let you say zoning on the air?
Just barely. I think we got written up for that last month when we brought it up.
Yeah, you know, I think this is another one that people, you know, they think it's a residential neighborhood. It shouldn't be, there shouldn't be any marijuana cultivation or retail shops. But the reality is in the areas outside the city, there is no zoning except for local option zoning. And we've seen some of that. We've seen some people come in and want their area zoned so that they can keep out this type of thing. And that's what it takes. And it's zoning is something that has a lot of negative associated with it because of some historical issues. But we run into it with gravel pits. We run into it with the cannabis issue where people think we live in a residential neighborhood and how could this industrial or business thing go in next door? Mm-hmm. Well, the reality is you are living in a residential neighborhood, but there's no protections in the areas outside the cities because there's no zoning.
Yeah.
I remember somebody wanted to build a industrial hog farm down near Nanilchik one time. That I think that got some people wishing there was zoning around there.
Yeah, that we do run into that from time to time, that people oftentimes want to stop something from happening in their neighborhood, but they don't really have a lot of tools. At one point, the borough had a ordinance on the books that was noxious, hazardous, and something else, but that's a loosely defined way of trying to stop something, and legally it's hard to defend against that.
Right.
You know, that issue was raised by some homeowners in the Kiski when the LNG project picked that as the site for the liquefaction plant that may or may not be built someday. But same issue, as the mayor pointed out, it's an area that has residences, but it's not zoned for residential only. And there were some people in that area who said, oh, how can this happen? So it's, as the mayor said, it comes up frequently.
Is that something that an area, an unincorporated area like Nanilchik or Nikiski can take upon themselves to impose, or would they have to incorporate?
No, they could do it by local option zoning where they draw their own boundaries and parcels that are included in it. And there's conditions associated with that also, what you can include and what you can't include. But that's one way of doing it. Absent that, you know, I've thought for a long time it might make some sense to do sort of zoning light, you know, because we could say in some areas we know it's industrial. And so why couldn't we just say this is industrial and draw the boundaries that way? But it's tough. It's a touchy issue with people who don't want any more government regulation because they think it's bad, bad, bad. But when they have something that's coming into a neighborhood that's going to negatively impact them, that's when they want it. They want to zone their neighbors, but not themselves. And that's a difficult challenge.
It strikes me as one of those sort of growing pains kind of issues, and probably has been going on just about as long as folks have been settling up here.
Right.
It
definitely is.
Given the results of the assembly races, how do you think it's going to change?
You know, I think that it's usually assembly decisions are an issue-by-issue basis, so there's still a number of assembly members who are returned to their seats, and so I don't see a lot of huge swing one way or the other. You know, the I think that on an issue-by-issue basis, all of the assembly members have the ability to be reasonable or unreasonable as their own experiences or biases come into play. But also, I think that they spend a lot of time listening to folks in the community, and it helps influence how they make decisions on the assembly. And that's actually a very hopeful explanation.
Well, I did want to ask, you know, given the makeup of the assembly and there's some returning faces and folks who have been around the community for a long time, I'm curious, do you think that the dynamic on this assembly, as it comes in, is one that can handle a $4 million budget gap and these sorts of things?
I think so. And I think obviously it's going to require the next administration, whoever ends up being mayor, helping guide through that process. But I think that the assembly does. I think that they voted down the mill rate increase that I proposed as part of the budget this year because they wanted to try some other alternatives and didn't get there. And I think that many of them recognize that they can't continue spending down the fund balance. It's not responsible. And so I think they'll find another option. They have no other choice but to come up with something that I guess they can get enough votes for.
Yeah.
And some of them are never going to vote for a tax increase. And I guess I'd like to say if they're not going to vote, then they have to propose reductions because you can't have it both ways.
I kind of wonder if at some point in the next administration, the mayor and the assembly will take another look at a bed tax, temporary accommodations, hotel bed tax. We brought that to the assembly. It failed on a 4-4 vote with one abstention. So it's certainly possible that could go a long way toward filling that $4 million gap. Maybe that'll come up. Or as the mayor said, there's property taxes, or you can cut funding to the schools. But the math is math. You can't change it. You can't spend money. You can't go negative when you're a municipality.
And they got to be a little cautious about a bed tax or other tax increase because that would have to go to the ballot.
Right.
The ballot, they can't get to a general ballot again until next October. I suppose, I don't even think those can go in special elections. I'll have to ask the attorney. But because it can't get there till next October, if you don't increase the mill levy when the budget's passed in June and you wait until October and it fails, you're underwater. It's a real crisis situation at that point because the fund balance will unless you do whole scale cutting, and again, 68% of our budget goes to education, you're not going to get there. And there's a lot of support out there for education, and rightfully so. It's our biggest responsibility and it's our biggest expenditure.
Is there a possibility? I mean, can you see a possibility of some sort of borough government shutdown?
No, I don't think it ever gets to that. You could cannibalize some other fund sources within the borough. It's not a responsible thing to do, but you might do it. There's some money in the land trust fund, but that's something that really is a legacy from land sales that we've had, and utilizing that simply to fill a hole in the budget won't last very long. There's not enough money in that account, and once you start cannibalizing your assets in order to make up a budget shortfall, you're going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the bed tax earlier. I'm constantly amazed that there isn't one because it's all money that's coming from visitors. The Mat-Su has had one for decades, I think.
Anchorage has one. Most municipalities, counties, cities around the country have one. There are almost four dozen cities and boroughs in Alaska that have one. There was some discussion by the assembly that if you had a bed tax, should some of it go to tourism and economic development, or should it just all go into school funding as sales tax, what the rates should be, what about inside cities, what about outside cities. There was some good discussion. It failed. There was some illogical discussion. There was one person who said, well, if we have a bed tax, people will stay outside the borough. And I thought, if you're fishing on the Kenai, you're not going to stay in the Mat-Su to avoid the tax and drive down every morning. So it may come back. But like the mayor said, if you've got to go to the voters, you can't do that for a year, and you've got to deal with this before then.
Yeah, Larry Persley, I want to remind everybody, Larry Persley and Borough Mayor Mike Navar joining us this morning. 690-1687 is the number if you have some questions. Talking about last night's election results, again, 690-1687. You know, it wasn't all that long ago, Larry, that we were talking about the AK LNG project, and you mentioned it just a minute ago. It really wasn't that long ago that we were talking about the project, the potential for that project as being a real silver bullet to all of these problems that we're facing right now. And I bring it up because recently I read an interview that you did in the Petroleum News, which was pretty my take on it was a pretty brutally honest assessment of the prospects of that project as it stands now. Can you give us a little bit of an update on where that's at?
Well, the state, through the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation, is still responding to requests for more information from federal regulators. When the Federal Regulatory Commission has enough information, it will set a timeline, a schedule for preparation of the environmental impact statement. I believe that could take a couple years. Right now, I'm not sure that state agency has enough money in the bank to finish the impact statement, but they want to start on it. But as far as the market goes, and I think the mayor and I agree on this, eventually we both believe there will be a North Slope natural gas project. I just don't think it's going to happen this decade. The market doesn't need it. We're not cost competitive with other projects around the world. And bluntly, between the producers and the state, we just don't have our act together to convince someone to loan $40 billion on this project.
It's a massive, massive project. And you know, we've talked a lot about just the lead time on this, and trying to get all the dots connected ahead of time is such a huge challenge for it.
Yeah, I think one of the important things is that should be done is how you put information together or get things in alignment that are going to have to happen whenever a gas project might be economically viable. Right now, I think it's tough, and you can't force the economics of something that the global demand and price for natural gas is not enough really to support that project at this time. And so, but getting things in place that will still be applicable, you know, 5 years from now, or I think is kind of important. Getting alignment between the companies on the North Slope on gas issues, between the state and the companies on taxation issues. Those types of things are going to need to be figured out at any point that a project goes forward. And so might as well work on those parts of it while we're waiting for the economics to catch up again.
Yeah.
It looks like we have a phone call. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, this is my first time calling in. This is Ed from Cooper Landing. You know, I wanted to make a comment. I've been listening, and like I said, it's the first time I listened to your show or called in, and I believe you're an NPR radio station, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so, you know, there's definitely a slant in my mind with regards to government and how it's run, NPR, but that's my own personal opinion. One thing that I did want to comment on is that the mayor's there to respond to this past election. There's many people that stepped up to the plate and ran for office. As we see it right now, there's going to be a runoff. And, you know, if you go on your neighboring radio station and you read the comments from candidates that will be remaining, it's quite interesting that one of them did a personal attack against the other. And, you know, made a statement about being truthful and transparent. Well, you know, maybe the mayor was right. Maybe he gave you a good assessment of what he thinks of Charlie. But I can tell you this right now. This is the problem we have in the media and those that have a certain kind of philosophic belief. And I can tell you right now, making a statement to a certain individual, maybe a bully-like person, is not the way to solve problems. Community and one of the candidates talking about truthfulness and transparency. I can tell you this right now. I am discouraged when an outgoing mayor would make comments like that. And as far as disenfranchising those that are in the city, we might take this in consideration, Mayor. When we have an issue about the hospital, which is in the city of Soldotna and in the city, area of Homer, the people of borough-wide, have a right to vote on those issues. And
no,
so
don't.
I personally disagree with the mayor with regards to the disenfranchise of those people in the cities, and I hope other people call in about it.
Ed, I have to correct you again. People throughout the borough don't have the right to vote on things within the Central Peninsula Hospital service area. There are boundaries for that service area, just like there are boundaries for the Nikiski Fire Service area, and just like there are boundaries for the South Peninsula Hospital service area. And when those boundaries are drawn, only the people within those boundaries get the right to vote on issues on those areas. And so in this case, like I said, the state law says that we only have jurisdiction, the Kenai Borough, a second-class borough, we only have jurisdiction for the marijuana regulation issue on the areas outside the cities. Inside the cities, they have their own jurisdictional authorities, and they get to vote on issues in their cities. But they don't get to vote on areas outside the borough for on this case. Now, other issues, like general issues that like the bond issues and things like that, they do. So it's the nuances of the various laws and the boundaries of different service areas and cities and things like that that are sometimes complicated, but we are a nation of laws and we have to abide by those laws. So the elections were carried out fairly and appropriately according to state law.
You know, and Ed brings up an interesting point. You know, you've spoken about this before. Is we're in the opening round of going to a runoff election. We're already seeing some negative campaigning, and you've spoken about this before. And how, especially at the local level, does that really do a lot of good? It's certainly effective in some cases.
You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there about government and how government works. And it's tough to correct all that. People have their own opinions, and they can be very, very strong opinions, but that doesn't mean they're right. But that's part of the problem with governing, is that people get upset about things that they don't understand and want to blame either the government or the people in government for things that are outside of their individual control. So.
Ed, thank you very much for your call, and thanks for being a public radio listener. Let's see, what's in the future for you, Mike?
You know, I get asked that all the time. I don't know. I'm still going to...
That's an evasive answer.
I recall the first time I ever heard of you, you were in the state legislature, of course, back in the 80s, right?
I was. I was in the 80s and 90s. I was in the legislature for 12 years, and then... was elected mayor in 96, served for 3 years, and then lost an election in a runoff to Dale Bagley in 99. And that's why runoff elections are wild cards. You know, the regular election in 1999, I had almost 47% of the vote. Dale had under 30. There were five candidates, I think, in that race. You know, people thought that I would win the runoff, and runoffs are different animals, and Dale beat me by a little bit, and it was, he got to be mayor for the next 6 years. So I was actually a little surprised that Dale's, the number of votes that Dale got. I thought that he would be stronger. I thought I really thought Charlie was going to make the runoff, and I thought that Dale and Linda were going to split the remainder of the votes, and that appears to be what happened, and we'll wait and see when the absentees come in if that changes, but Dale's been elected a couple of times in the past, which is why I thought that he would poll stronger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which state house district do you live in?
I live in actually the Kenai Nikiski one, the one that Mike Chenault's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any interest of going back to Juneau?
You know, I have some interest in public policy, but not necessarily from the standpoint of running for elected office again. So I'm not planning on running for anything. I've told the governor that I do want to help with the state fiscal situation and fiscal policy, and if I can help in some fashion, I'll be happy to do it. And even if I do it as a volunteer, I have good rapport with members of both parties and in the majority and the minority. And I think that, you know, that's what it's going to take. We have to come to consensus. We have got to work together. The problems that are facing Alaska from an economic sense, because of our budget and our fiscal situation, are significant, and they're going to get worse unless we address the problem in the short term.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Larry? It sounds like Mike wants to get in on your gigs here.
You mean getting a free lunch for giving a speech? you know, I like the mayor, I have no intention of running for anything. I haven't run for anything since college, but I do. I'd like to help with the public policy debate in Alaska. I spent my first 25 years here in journalism. I'm thinking of going back to journalism.
That's a thing that I never thought I'd ever hear anyone say.
Well, I miss journalism.
Are there any newspapers left?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't have to be a newspaper, and
we've got a future blogger here.
Right?
That's
what's
going on.
Doesn't have to pay that well, if at all. I'd be happy to volunteer, maybe. So, some role in news and public policy. I haven't figured out what, but not that anyone has asked. No, I have no plans to run for elected office. But if elected, I'd probably serve, sure.
On that write-in campaign.
All right.
Something we spoke, Mike, last week about looking back sort of over your career in Alaska politics. One thing we didn't have time to get to and something that I'm still curious about is looking back over this last 6 years in this term, what are some things that you got done that you were happy to get done? What are some things that if you were able to stick around that you would like to keep working on?
Well, the biggest thing that I think we got done is we got some hospital projects completed, and I think that's important in the short term because healthcare is changing and how we pay for healthcare. So getting the infrastructure in place so that we can have the services here, I think, was something that was important. The cost of healthcare is something that we're seeing it go down a little bit in terms of the healthcare costs of the borough because employees because of some changes we made. But healthcare is something that is of concern for me. I think it's something that is not sustainable. It hasn't been sustainable. It's tough to change though because there's so many vested interests, economic interests and other interests in healthcare that it makes it very, very difficult to affect change. And even, you know, there's a lot of parochialism. You know, I looked at doing borough-wide health powers or combining the hospital service areas, but from both sides, they were a little concerned about that because they saw only the negative side of it rather than the efficiencies that could be achieved from looking at some working together more closely. And they're trying to do a little bit more of that, but long-term healthcare is something that has to be addressed. And then, you know, one of the things I'm disappointed in is when I came into office, we were deficit spending. I said that I would get that under control, and I did. In part, I think because we managed the government at the borough level pretty responsibly. We didn't increase spending a lot. But now we're facing a deficit again, and it's in part because we've seen some reductions in taxes. We increased the residential exemption from $20,000 to $50,000. That was a tax cut. And we're seeing a loss of revenues from the state as a result of the economic contraction at the state level, a couple of $1 million a year in state municipal revenue sharing. Those things either have to be made up or you have to find ways to cut. And again, with education being the biggest component of our budget, it's tough to get to a budget reduction. So
we have another caller on the line. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Bill. I live over near the fire station off of K Beach.
Hi. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I had to walk in the next room and shut that radio off. I was getting an echo.
Hey,
I had a comment, maybe a little clarity with respect to the previous caller, Ed. I listened to the interview that you had with the outgoing mayor a couple days ago, and my understanding that was not an interview about his accomplishments during his term as mayor, nor the current politics. That was more a interview about him, his history, his family history, his business history, etc. As is today's interview, more of an interview of him going out as mayor, and it's not of current mayoral policies. My point in making that, in offering that clarification is, the other day I winced a little bit when Mike endorsed Ms. Farnsworth. I smiled, but I winced a little bit. After thinking about that, I think that's entirely appropriate, and especially in a small community like ours, where, excuse me, but I'm not a big fan of the Clarion, and we don't get a lot of local news on the Clarion. It's more of, seems like a tabloid, or not a tabloid, a newsprint to that generate that stays alive based on how much money it generates, and it doesn't really fulfill the community purpose, including educating us about different candidates. So I think it was appropriate for Mr. Navarre to make that comment about Ms. Farnsworth before, and I think it's appropriate today. So just a different of opinion. And quite frankly, I don't expect him to do that, but I'd be perfectly comfortable with Mike running for mayor anytime, especially even before, but especially now in light of what we've had for about the past, shall we say, three governors. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bill.
Hey, if I could, I just want to mention, I got a text from Charlie. He said he was troubled by my characterization of him as a bully. You know, I've had a couple of experiences, personal experiences with Charlie, as I said, on the assembly. I got along good with him. I'm not meaning to offend him. People can make their own minds up. I expressed why I was supporting Linda, and I'll continue to support Linda and those who support Charlie and his campaign. Good luck.
I'm sure we're going to have both of the mayoral candidates on the air here, and he'll probably have a chance to. We'll ask him about you too.
Okay, no problem.
It goes both ways. Yes.
Shaylin?
Well, I guess it just sort of in closing, I guess I just wanted to thank both of you for coming in again, Mike. Again, I know we spent a lot of time talking last week, but thanks so much for coming in and going over these election results. And just to kind of close out, I have to imagine, given all your years in public service and what you've put into the various jobs, you've got to be hopeful that the next administration, whoever that might be, is gonna find the way ahead and out of this current budget mess.
Well, I think that they will and they need to, and that's part of the job responsibilities. And so I think that whoever gets elected will tackle the challenge, and there'll be a lot of public dialogue about how to go about doing it, and the public will get to weigh in on it, and the assembly will get to make the final decision.
Very good.
Any last words there, Larry?
No, I think the mayor's right. They're going to have to deal with it. Whoever's mayor, whoever's on the assembly, you can't spend money you don't have. You need to provide for a quality education. So they're going to have to figure it out. Will it be exactly the way I would have done it? Probably not. But as I age, I accept that things don't always go the way I want.
I wish we all had that sort of perspective. And
Well, I'm not sure I believe it, but serenity. It sounded good to say.
It does. Well, Mayor Mike Navarre and Chief of Staff Larry Pursley, thank you both very much for coming in today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay. Thank you. And Shaylin, appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to the Kenai Conversation. It is just about 11 a.m. You are listening to listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, kenai.salt.net.